All right, everybody, welcome to the Overdunk Podcast, the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am your host, Josh Zoinks Hebert of Unite Mics, and I am on this podcast sitting down with the best teams in the game right now, talking all things competitive, tournament scene, meta, everything that you want to hear. And today, I have the amazing pleasure of sitting down with Team Aphelion. We got a full house here today. I'm sitting down with Ark, Blackbeard, Muk, Rex, and Redlove. So thank you so much for joining me, everybody. How you guys feeling today?
Feeling good.
Good.
Feeling great.
Awesome. Great.
Great. Thank you so much. Art, you are doing double time on Unite Mike's YouTube today. So thank you so much for everybody pitching in and helping us out with the content and stuff. So why don't we, people know enough about me already if they found themselves onto this channel. So let's learn a little bit about our guests. Blackbeard, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about who you are, how people will know you, and then what role you play for Team Aphelion.
I play for Aphelion, obviously. I'm the support player. That's pretty much it. I do work a normal 9-to-5. Cool. After the 9-to-5, I play Pokemon Unite all night, every night.
Good stuff. I'm living that 9-to-5 life too, so I completely get it. One day maybe. All right, next
I up, used to one. I used to be the team's tank player, but they said I was playing too passive.
Oh,
now we
God,
got beef.
You got cut. You got not, cut.
I got cut.
Let's jump to the current team's tank player then. Rex, how about you? Why don't you introduce yourself? Same questions go for you.
All right. Obviously, my name's Rex. I'm the tank player for Team Aphelion and the captain. I play Slowbro primarily right now. Pirate military. Currently just going to school for engineering. Cool. And yeah, like everybody else. Pretty much unite at night, study by day.
sweet. Good life. All right, Muk, how about you next?
Yeah, I'm Devon Muk. Most people just call me Muk. I've been around the Pokemon community for a long time. I've won tournaments in Showdown. I won a lot of tournaments. Most people know me from Pokemon Go. Cool. I won a regional in Pokemon Go. I've competed in Continentals. I was top 8. That's where like most of my following outside of Unite came from.
Awesome.
But now I'm the jungler at Unite. I have a lot of mobile experience, but right now I'm just trying to be the best Greninja and the best jungler for my team. Yeah.
Cool. You've had my vote for best Greninja for quite some time. Shout outs to you for sure. All right, Art, I know you were on the podcast last night, but why don't you just do a quick synopsis, introduction to who you are, what role you play for Team Aphelion?
I am Art, and my role in Team Aphelion is a top laner. I play a Greedent, and I tend to switch between OG depending on the teams that we play against.
Cool.
Currently, I'm studying graphic design, and I'm currently my last year for it. So.
Hey, the end is in sight. That's good. Congratulations. Okay, and then Redlove, round us out on these introductions.
Oh, he just muted.
Oh, what's going on?
What up?
Yeah, this is Red Love, man. I just stream, man. That's all I do. Stream, game, nothing else. Just a little streamer trying to make it out there.
Cool. And then the role you play for your team as well.
I run the attacker role.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, probably anybody listening to this podcast already knows your guys' roles, but hey, if this podcast could do a little bit of work in getting more eyes on the Unite community, I'd love to get them introduced to who you guys are and what you're doing. Okay, so guys, Team Aphelion, you are one of the very few signed teams in the game right now that actually has a org to back them up. Definitely a lot of teams have showed a ton of interest in finding one. We're seeing those LFT posts on Twitter and Discord, wherever we see them. But you are some of the lucky few to have that organization backing you up a little bit. Talk to me a little bit about that. How did that signing come about? Was it something that you reached out and found a connection with, or did Aphelion come looking at the group of you who were playing?
So basically the way it started was we had just won Masters 10 tourney.
Okay.
And somebody, one of the org, not an org, but a person hit us up about potentially getting us signed with an org that he's affiliated with. Ooh. And eventually that org kind of fell apart, and he was telling us about this new org called Aphelion. And we were like, we're down to follow you wherever. Like, the dude was holding us down, helping us out, like,
awesome,
any little incentives or whatever. And then we finally started talking to Aphelion, kind of liked where their mindset is and the direction they're going. And just the whole staff there is always helpful. So
cool.
I pretty much ended up deciding on signing with them.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, and congrats to you guys for finding that. That's super huge. Awesome. I'm glad you were able to find a home and have a more of a banner to lift up. I mean, I know the your old team name, that tire, was pretty iconic, but it does look a whole lot nicer having your player names having Aphelion Esports next to it, I'm sure. a little bit of a nice name card to have going with it. So let's just talk a little bit more about your team org and stuff like that. Rex, you said they are able to help you out and stuff like that. I see their socials pumping you guys up constantly, not just giving you that premium gas, but they're also making sure they share your streams, everything like that. Have any of you gone into like content pieces with Aphelion, or are you guys like potentially, have you talked to any of their other teams, anything like that? Or is this just sort of the first steps with this team right now?
We're currently in the first steps right now. We're just kind of just playing the game and trying to represent them the best we can in this scene.
Cool. Awesome. Well, then let's talk about you guys playing the game. So Pokemon Unite, we've been out, what, maybe 6 months now, almost? We're coming up on that, we're in that time frame.
Seven months.
Okay, past that time frame. So we've had the game for over half a year now. You guys, I'm assuming for the most part, have all of you been playing since release, or did any of you start kind of late?
I've been playing since beta in March. Okay.
Nice. Been quite a while for Blackbeard. Sweet, you've been grinding. I'm assuming the story is the same for the rest of you in that way.
Well, you can go ahead first, Mug.
I was gonna say, yeah, I started playing on the Japanese beta.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, on Switch, and I mean, I pretty much only played Greninja there as well, and I just fell in love with the character, and it's been a wrap since then.
Yeah. Hey, it ain't broke, you do not fix it. That's great.
Exactly.
How about you, Rex?
I kind of started playing because of Red. Initially, I wasn't going to take the game serious, but I noticed that Red was playing, and he's always been a good friend with me before Unite.
Sweet.
So I kind of started playing to play with him.
That's very cool. Cool. Red, how about you?
Yeah, man, I started playing when the game came out on Switch. So I love MOBAs, and I love console MOBAs. I was playing Mobile Legends right before this came out. So
okay, awesome.
I made the Switch to this game. So
sweet. Have you played any of those other console MOBAs? I mean, Mobile Legends. Have you done like Smite or even?
Yep,
the old
I started out on Smite. Cool. I went to Genesis. That was another console MOBA.
Yeah.
And then I went to Mobile Legends, and now I'm on this. So any MOBA that comes out, I'm going to be on.
All right. Sweet.
Especially for console.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome. I love that console esports finally getting a little bit of extra light with this game too. That's huge. Okay, awesome. So ever since inception, or at least as far as I've known your team to be, you have definitely been one of the best teams in the game in what is called a death ball composition. Now, some of you may remember times where that wasn't the case. Maybe you were, but what I really think of when I think of Aphelion Esports is I think you've honestly set the bar for what that composition can mean in Pokemon Unite. Now, for anybody who's listening who maybe doesn't know what a death ball comp is, it's a lot like what it sounds like. On cast, I've called it the Aphelion Freight Train. Whenever those Zapdos fights kick off, Aphelion is always the one engaging that team fight, setting it at their pace, and they move as a absolute unit. You can always see just that entire stack moving around the map to target, finding those eliminations. Plays really well to a lot of your team's strengths. I know, Redlove, you love playing that Venusaur. Well, I don't know how much you actually love playing it. I know you play it so much. I don't know if you like the character, but
I definitely like it. It just fits the play style. You know, I like to go in, so and that's what he's always been about. So
right. Yeah.
I'm going in when I'm on the Vita, man. That's it.
That's good. I mean, that's awesome. You got to call that too. You got to make sure that your team knows that you are diving in, getting in their face, because Venusaur, a tanky Pokemon, has a lot of sustain, but in these high level, when you're playing the best of the best teams all the time, whether it be ladder, whether it be in ranked, you're going to need to have a little bit of backup when it comes to survivability. So I'm sure the rest of the team, you guys have adopted really well into this playstyle. Rex, is the Slowbro the pick? You were honestly one of the earliest adopters of Slowbro when it came, maybe even playing it quite a bit before it really became a meta staple pick at this point. You could even call yourself a pioneer of Slowbro if you really wanted to. What came about that decision to start operating the Slowbro? Was it because of this playstyle, or was it something more early game that prompted that decision?
So I used to play Mime predominantly, and okay, Lax, yeah. But Lax got that bug for a little bit, or I guess I can say it's not a bug anymore. And then So then I kind of liked the way the buffs they made to Bro. They made him a lot tankier, because I was telling them, like, I started playing Bro before the patches they made to him, and I noticed, like, he just wasn't tanky enough. Like, I talked to Black about that all the time. Like, yo, this character gets tankier, like, he is going to be a problem. And, like, as soon as he got the tank buffs, I was like, yeah, this character is going to be sick. And then it was reinforced by the fact that D-Knight was such, you know, such a force this, like, last couple months, or last month, I mean. So I noticed, and late game, we're just such a team fight type of team that I noticed Triple Surf is just one of the best moves in the game. As long as you get a Bro to level 11, like, he's going to dominate late game with the Triple Surf and setup stuff, because all I really needed to do is help Red and let Red and Muk take care of take care of everything.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I mean, at that point too, when you're engaging in these late game team fights, you're always in a situation where the battleground, if you will, is so much more close quarters. Pokemon Unite has, like, these really wide open lanes, allows for you to get away from these, like, bigger area of effect moves like Surf. But when you're in a Zapdos pit, that does not exist. your Surf is going to be landing and, like, hitting a ton of CC, especially on that Triple Surf. So, all right, well, speaking of hero picks and kind of like what is defining your team as a team fight team and everything, Blackbeard, I gotta ask you, I think you're the only Eldegoss player around that's not running that EXP share on your Eldegoss. Talk to me about the decision behind that.
In short, my team is very, very aggro.
Yeah.
So to keep up with that, I had to run Focus Beam.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the only real negative is with experience share, you know, it does enough, but I feel like you can kind of you could deal without going.
Yeah, yeah. You can circumvent it for sure. There's different angles you could play, especially when you're playing that aggro, right? If you're not getting that extra leaky experience into Red Love, Red Love needs to take it by earning KOs.
Right.
So,
I mean, right, exactly.
Just a little bit more of a carrot in front of your attacker DPS, I suppose.
There's no real set build, in games like this. You always kind of just build to how you want to build around your team.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I really like that. I think you're one of the first teams to really define, like, if we are going to go on a playstyle, we are going to go all in on a playstyle. And so that's going to be these Slowbro picks, these item options. I think it's really cool. I love that you're one of the first teams to really define something like this and push the meta in such a way. So very cool. Congratulations, guys. Muk, you are one of the players that has a little bit more of that variety available to you in the roster. Being that jungler, it really seems like every patch we have a new top tier jungler. But the Greninja is what you made your name on for sure. What do you like playing in that jungle the most? I mean, Greninja works, but what about this play style? What kind of jungler would you love to have with this giant teamfight aggro rushdown setup?
So in all the MOBAs I've played, I've always played AD carry.
Cool.
So when I first started playing, Greninja was just like, in my opinion, he was just the premier kiting AD carry with water shurikens and stuff.
Yeah.
And it allowed me, because I started playing solo queue, and water shurikens with the heal was allowing me to do really insane things like just 1v5s and all kinds of stuff.
Cool.
And it's slightly been toned back, you know, every couple patches. Greninja seems to catch a nerf.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it really just came down to playstyle. Like, even when Cinderace was the premier meta jungler, I was always playing Greninja just because it just fit my playstyle better. I like being able to have self-sustain and, you know, allowing my team to play around each other, and I can just kite around the back and clean up at the end.
Cool.
So yeah, and I mean, and lately I've actually moved on from shurikens to surf, and it's just helped the team out immensely, being able to secure all types of dreadnoughts and stuff.
Yeah.
I personally just really, really enjoy the playstyle from Greninja, and being able to run Focus Band is huge. Like, it allows me to do a lot more things that I don't think Cinderace is able to do. Like, I invade a lot and all types of stuff, and I'm able, with the Focus Band, I'm able to get out of a lot of sticky situations.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I mean, Focus Man gives you not only those statistical defense buffs, but honestly, that's saving grace on a whatever second cooldown it is. So yeah, that Focus Man definitely coming in clutch, of course. Art, I'm really interested to talk about your Greedent in this Death Ball composition, because the Greedent most commonly seen in this like solo lane push, but also a little bit of that jungle invade. When it comes down to these like late game team fights, I want to talk about these post 2 minute Zapdos initiations. Red Lover Rex is screaming go go go, and now the team fight has actually begun. What's your job as the Greedent to slot in there? I know sometimes it's going to be OG who's going to be running that extreme speed in these situations, but when you're on the Greedent, what goes through your mind when that engagement kicks off?
Usually I just come and try to stun with COVID.
Cool.
But when they start engaging, they usually have to bait ults because Greedent's ult is not that good to use at the beginning.
Yeah.
But once all the ults have been used, he can clean up really easily.
Yeah.
So I'm usually the anchor for the ults.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, baiting ults is a part of every MOBA for sure. But I think in Pokemon Unite, it matters so much because there's always that key thought in your back of the mind. This 2 minute team fight will define almost everything about a game. Not always, but almost everything. So yeah, those baiting of ults is absolutely huge. So
yeah, especially with the body barriers. Like, the other MOBAs don't have these body barriers. You can make an ambush and they can get saved, but in here, body barriers save everyone.
Yeah, body barrier, a massively powerful item, been top tier meta since day one. Let's talk about that question for the group. What do we think about body barrier and just the effect it has on the entire game as a meta? Do we hate it? Do we like it? Where are we at with that?
Hate anybody it.
Can answer. You hate it. Okay, Blackbeard hates it. Talk to me about it. That.
I just feel like it saves a lot of, it saves people from doing bad plays.
Okay.
If that item wasn't in the game, or it might have changed, maybe they nerfed it to something like it's actually a buddy barrier. It doesn't give you a shield to the user. It will only give shields to your teammate.
Yeah.
And maybe that would be useful. But as far as everything else, I just feel like it saves people from making it. It saves people from making bad plays.
Okay. So if they take that out, jail free card thing.
Definitely a get out of jail free card. Without that item, I feel like a lot of, you know, certain Pokemon, certain players wouldn't play. They play like that because they know they have to like.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially when you're describing it as if you'd only gave to a teammate, in the back of my mind, I'm like, that item would probably still be super good and everyone would run it. So if you're literally minusing half of the value and it's still in my mind a must-pick item, yeah, I think it's pretty good. All right, other people, thoughts on Buddy Barrier?
Yeah, I just think it's over-centralizing. It's kind of like how, you know, D-Knight was the premier over-centralized jungler. You had to run it in every comp.
Yeah.
Same thing with Buddy Barrier. You've got almost every single team is running 5 Buddy Barriers, and I think that's kind of like the staple, like that everyone has to run. There's literally one, you know, premier player that isn't, you know, running it. And it's Elo. You know, he runs triple damage, but that's the only guy who isn't running Buddy Barrier at the comp level.
Yeah.
And I think if there was just a little bit more leeway, I think it would. I think it'd help the game out a lot, because I mean, like, it's kind of toxic how you can just stack a million HP worth of shields and flip the Zapdos and still have a shot at winning the game. Whereas,
that's
like,
the truth about them stacking too. That may be kind of a keystone of why they are so broken. Having more than one buddy barrier stack is pretty absurd. I think that could be true. All right, awesome. The rest of you three that haven't spoken on buddy barrier, any hot off the take opinions about the thing? Does anybody like it? I'm curious about that. Does anybody like the item of buddy barrier?
I'm like in between. Like, yeah. I kind of like it because it's a different. Like, I've played a bunch of MOBAs before, and like everybody said, this hasn't been present in other MOBAs. So I kind of like the fact. And to be honest, like, if Buddy Barrier wasn't there, like junglers like Absol and Charizard would be a lot more annoying to deal with.
Yeah, those assassins would be a nightmare in Pokemon Unite if that was the case. Yeah, how fed junglers get in this game, it'd be absurd.
It'd be toxic. But my biggest complaint about Buddy Barrier is not really just the team fight aspect of it. It's more so the score shield. I don't like the fact that Like, to me, that is so cheesy. the score comps, I dislike score comps so much. And it's just the main thing about it is just the buddy barrier is just too strong for it. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes it too good. Like, even if they axed it maybe a little bit further more, like, give them less shield by ulting, it'd be a little bit better. But it's too strong, dude. Yeah. It's like everybody's saying, it's just too strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm with you all. I do think it needs to see it being toned down. I don't hate it as an item. I actually really do like the playstyle of it hitting just one other target to get that heal. But yes, it is absurd in how much it gives you, how much extra value it's giving you. And yeah, I see Muck the jungler wants all those pesky shields to go away so we can, can just surf through the entire enemy team. I see you, Muck. I see you. Okay. Well, what I wanted to talk about, so that's the meta that you guys are playing, this death ball meta. It pressures into some enemy teams really, really well, especially if you can bait out some ults early and then still be alive to swing through and take out the rest of the team. Also, what I've seen when I've casted you guys is that just that chance of how many fights a Felion takes is that you're really never out of the entire game, almost ever, because at any moment, one of these fights that you're engaging, one of the 900 during the game that a Felion chooses to throw at the enemy team, any one of those in terms of comeback experience could throw you guys right back into the game. So good on you guys for having the, you know, moral and, like, you know, staying power to keep yourselves always within the game. But let's talk a little bit about team stuff, team-wise. So Rex, I know you're the team captain, and I've listened to some of your streams and things like that, and just the team streams. I know that you're mostly the, like, macro shot caller in-game. You're definitely calling out when to push, when to back off, those kind of things. Have you been a shot caller in other games that you've played before, or is Pokemon Unite the first one that you've sort of done this in?
I've been a shot caller pretty much every single game I've ever played. Okay. And it's funny, because when I first started playing Unite, like, even Black can answer this one too. Like, I told him, dude, I do not want a shot call. Like, I didn't like it doing it anymore.
Yeah.
And, like, I at one point I got tired of losing tourneys, and I'm like, I'm just gonna shot call and see what happens.
Cool.
Because Black's like, yeah, you got a shot call, bro. Give it a try. This and
that. The first time we ever heard his man take the game serious, he won the tournament. And it was the first time he was shot calling. Like, that's... and we were like, after that, bro, everybody shut up. He's the new shot caller.
Cool. I mean, that is really cool. Not a lot of teams right now have that kind of control tower in terms of a role. So, but being on that tank role has got to help you and stuff for sure. But I know, honestly, mostly when I'm watching games, I'm watching that bot lane early. It's the most exciting. A lot of Pokemon down there. A lot of fun. So Red and Blackbeard, I know you guys are doing your fair share of calling too. It's usually coming a little bit more down to the micro stuff, maybe not as big endgame stuff, but I know everybody gets to say their piece. Rex, you are a shot caller, not a dictator, at least in my opinion. I'm not going to ask the rest of your teammates what the definition of that is, but yeah, no, I think that's good. But Muck, when it comes to calling out for your team, what kind of things does a jungler have to say to the rest of the squad when they're coming? Is it just when you're ganking, or what are you communicating to the rest of your team, and what do you need from them in terms of intel to play your role best?
Yeah, so pretty much the early game, my job is to locate the enemy jungler and give proper information of when the enemy jungler is going to be ganking, where I think he's, what camp he's at, and stuff like that. So I'll let them know if, you know, I'm farming and I need to get, you know, 9, if I need them to leave an Dino bot so I can get a little bit more XP.
Cool.
Just that type of thing. Just, you know, making sure my team doesn't get ran over by the enemy jungler at a bad time, at a time, you know, that they're not expecting.
Yeah.
And stuff, because there's guys out there like Toon who are kind of making the meta,
yeah,
the jungle meta their own, where they're not ganking at specific times, where, you know, most junglers are ganking, you know, at B's, but he's doing things where he's taking one buff and running straight top, or he's,
yeah,
you know, stuff like that. He's really ahead of other junglers when it comes to pathing. So I try to keep my team informed so they're not getting ganked at a weird time.
Yeah, especially when that's a specific team situation that you have to prep for and you're not usually used to it, you get that general rhythm, that stuff can throw you off for sure. Yeah, the jungle meta is always constantly fluctuating. And let's face it, I mean, TTV being the like biggest name in the game right now, they're definitely going to be like the lanes to beat. So not just the jungle, that bot lane, that top lane, what would they do? A lot of people try to emulate and beat. But what I really like about Aphelion is you guys are running your own stuff. I mean, the like I said, no one's running that death ball like you. No one's engaging in these huge team fights like you. And it's proving to be a really huge value. So, okay, before we get off meta discussion, there's just a couple more things I wanted to ask you about big roles, because I have you all on the podcast here and you're trapped here, and you can answer my questions. Talk to me about slow smoke meta. It's this new buff. It's a new thing. We already hate buddy barrier, so I'm interested to see what we think about this insanely strong 40-second cooldown slow smoke. Anybody can say.
Broken.
Overtuned.
Okay.
Broken. Just slightly overtuned. Just slightly overtuned. I think if, you know, they timed the timer back just a little bit so that you couldn't just smoke off everyone from all the, you know, important camps, I think it would be a lot in a lot better spot. But in general, I think the battle items are almost balanced. I mean, just the other day, I just took a screenshot. Every single one of us was running a different battle item. And I think that's really cool. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of teams are doing that.
Definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a pocket full of full heals or a full roster of eject buttons. I mean, you sort of got your coin flip of either side that you're going on. Red Love on that Venusaur. I mean, it's been pretty much a staple to have to run that full heal for a long time, because you got to get up in there and you are a prime target for CC. So, is there any chance that Venusaur starts pulling out the slow smoke for those later game engages, keep them within range of that Petal Dance Giga Train? Or is that a bad read on what I think Venusaur should be doing?
I mean, I've been trying it slightly. It just doesn't seem worth. I mean, it's on the same cooldown as full heal, and like you could smoke people, but as soon as you get stunned, like that's it. You know, I really don't see that much value in it. I've been playing around with it a little bit, so honestly, instead of going that, I almost think it's probably even better to go X attack if you're going to go slow smoke, because X attack actually really isn't that bad on Vina. But yeah, it's the same difference. It's like, why? As soon as I pop that, I get CC'd, either one of them. Like, if I pop slow, I get CC'd. Yeah. If I pop X attack, I get CC'd. So then it's literally pointless as soon as I do it. So it's almost...
I just don't
think it's worth it.
Mm. Yeah, especially on Vina when you're just so susceptible to that CC. I mean, it counters your big game plan that you're trying to rush into. So that makes a lot of sense. X attack is interesting, though. Have you been experimenting with that battle item much? I've seen you play it a little bit. I don't know if I've ever seen you play it in tourneys, but up until this recent new tournament admin mode, I couldn't really see what people are playing very often. So are you running that X attack in tourneys now?
No.
Okay, yeah.
Full heal only, man. I can't run that in tourneys. It's just too Vina's just so big in a team fight. It's just too risky to, as soon as you get stunned and you can't ult, like it just goes back to not being with a buddy barrier. Like, it's just so much stuff happens if you can't get an ult off. So
yeah,
full heal is just it to me, it's a must. A lot of people still don't run it though. Like TTV, they don't really run a lot of full heals. They usually run blinks and stuff, so mm-hmm. It just depends. Like, with me, I don't think anything beats full heal for me, at least. It's the best item in the game, I think. It's probably too strong, actually.
Really? Okay, calling for the full heal nerfs. Interesting. I have stuck to eject button for so long, but only because I've played other games where flash exists, and it's just so hard not to pick flash. And it's honestly more of a crutch pick at this point, probably, if I'm being honest with myself. I could probably do more.
When you get really good with positioning, like, it's really not that bad having blink. Like, that's why TTV can kind of, like, get away with it, because they, like, really are good with positioning, so they can use that blink when they're one time when they're out of position, you know? So it's like, They're similar. It's just it's a lot more risky playing with blink instead of full heal. Full heal, it's up every 40 seconds. Every single fight, you're going to have a full heal. So it's like,
that makes
a lot of
sense.
A little different.
Cool. And actually, let's talk about positioning just for a sec in this late game situation. So on cast, I'm a color caster, so my job is to try to be informative as I can, but I can't help myself. Whenever it hits those 2 minutes, all I can rant about is where the teams are positioned in these final fights, because I think it matters so much with how small of a map Unite is and how much you're able to gather information so quickly. I think it proves to be a huge deal. So talk to me a little bit about when Aphelion is not already in Zap Pit at that 2 minutes, when you guys are pushed out, what kind of becomes the game plan? How do you find a way to throw a team fight into action? Are you looking for a straggler on the outside? Are you trying to find an angle in that top or bottom angle? Or are you pushing right through that center lane most often? Or is it just completely situational?
It's completely situational.
Yeah, that's probably
usually it. It depends. Like, if we don't got Zap positioning, we're gonna find a way to get in.
Yeah,
if that's by me throwing a surf somewhere, or if that's somebody pushing top, like, we're gonna find a way in. And then usually, like, we'll see, like you said, a straggler. One person will try to push in, and while that's happening, like, sometimes they'll see somebody coming from top, and the rest of the team might push up top. So it'll be like, oh, this guy is free right here. Mm-hmm. So we'll usually slow brawl him, kill him, and then join the rest of the team to fight.
All right, makes sense. Yeah, I like that. It's been kind of a cool part of the meta that we've seen develop is teams will, like, spread out to block goal zones, but they'll also have to pick specific bush to actually watch out for teams. Teams will have started to bait now, which I think is so fun. They'll send out, like, a lone Lucario and just say, oh no, I'm all on my own. And then surprise, immediately, that is not the case whatsoever. But yeah, cool. So that is what I wanted to talk about in terms of meta. So we know, Rex, you were that shot caller in-game. How about your guys' team prep outside of game? So this doesn't have to be just in Discord chats or things like that, but even, like, in between queues on Rank Ladder and things like that. Is there, like, one brain behind your operation when it comes to figuring out team comps, when you look at the patch notes every time, try to figure out what's going to be best in an upcoming tournament, or looking at a team on the other side of the bracket that you're going to have to face up against? What's the situation like that? I know that no teams right now in Unite really have coaching, per se. I mean, everybody's got their own little individual things, but no one's got, like, team coaches exactly. What do you guys do in those cases? Is there one person that's sort of the brain of the op, or is everybody pitching in all the time?
I predominantly do the VOD reviews. I mean, Black recently, he's been really good about coming in and studying with me or studying on his own. Like, he's really put in the work, I feel, lately. Cool. Even more so than me. I don't know about the rest of the team, because usually with any information that I get or any ideas, like, I'll talk to them individually, or I'll even talk to Red. Like, I'll take time out the day and talk to him for like 30 minutes and be like, what do you feel about going this, or what do you feel about that? We're always theory crafting. That's the thing. Like, yeah, we're never trying to stay stagnant. We're always trying to evolve. Yeah. We're always trying to push the meta.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's working. You found so much success already. So yeah, that's huge. Awesome. Yeah, so Blackbeard, you have been getting into the lab recently too, trying to polish up your own game, but also trying to find new angles for the team and everything like that?
I wouldn't say it's mainly for the team. I've been looking at VODs mainly for me because you know, I just feel like sometimes how I think about the game is not on the same page as Enric's. He is the captain, so I recently been watching the VOD so I could be more on the same page with him instead of being, like, opposite, because I feel like I was doing the opposite of what he wanted. So sure. I was watching VODs and pulling Enric along so I can kind of break down his brain, you know. Not do the wrong thing, I guess you call it.
I got you. Hey, everyone's improving, and that's awesome. Like, it doesn't even just have to be at an individual performance level. It's at the level of just communication and actually making sure everyone sticks to a game plan. That's huge. Awesome.
Right.
All right, let's talk about some recent events. So let's talk about the Shiny finale, or maybe let's take a step back and start just before it. The Shiny League event, you guys earned top seed. You grinded, you got a ton of these huge first place wins. You went on an absolute just barn burner throughout this whole series, and you were given that first seed. Was that always, like, the game plan? Obviously, I know the game plan is always to win, but was the end in sight being, we need to get this first seed for that Shiny finale?
Well, at the start of October, like, we weren't taking the game 100% serious. Like, when Shiny was announced, we kind of were like, yeah, we'll play a tournament, see how it goes.
Oh, okay.
But, like, but going to, like, November, especially after the first tourney win, we're like, yeah, let's, like, really take this serious. Let's play every single tourney. Let's try to get first place. Because at the time, like, I'm not going to say, you know, we weren't respected, but we definitely weren't, you know, looked at like we were a great team.
Sure.
Like there was still a lot of doubt casted on us. So we wanted to make sure, like, and we don't really care what people say. We're always the team where, like, we don't care what people say about us. We're just going to play our game. We're going to stay in our lane, and we're just going to do what we do at the end of the day. So November, definitely, at that time frame, we were definitely like, yeah, we're going to be first place in this league. We don't care if people are saying TTV this, bad macro that. We're going to end first, and that's it.
Awesome. You guys proved it. You earned that top seed. I honestly, if anybody is saying you're not a top team in the game right now, they either don't watch this game whatsoever or are just blatantly wrong. So you guys have earned that position. So congratulations, of course. I know a small color caster's bump isn't the biggest thing in the world, but you've earned it for me. So congratulations, guys. But all right, let's talk about this Shiny League finale then. So I'll bring up the I'll bring up the bracket on my stream here too. So we so you guys entered in first seed. You got a couple of you got a couple of wins in your first couple of rounds. You went up against Tamagotchi Crew, a team that we definitely have seen around before, but haven't had like the best of results. But you're able to take a nice 2-1 over there, and then you also beat an Apes Unleashed team in 2-1. Talk to me about that game. Apes Unleashed, a really, really solid EU squad. I know Sixies in that top lane. You got some solid players on the other end of that roster. How well do you guys match up against Apes?
Historically, we've always really had a great matchup versus them. They're, you know, they're a really good team. But in that, in the specific match, you know, in the Shiny League finale, they really threw us a curveball when they ran Talonflame top. And, you know, Sixies is known for, you know, his Lucario play. And then when he threw us, you know, I like, I was really not expecting to play against a Talonflame top, and that definitely threw off the game plan, like, a lot. You know, we're 100% we were expecting to play against a Lucario. So when we were playing against a Talonflame, you know, me and OG are messaging back, you know, because, you know, it's me and OG, but we were messaging back and forth, you know, what's the game plan, how we're going to approach this and stuff, because that was definitely a curveball. But, you know, historically, we've always paired up really well against them. So, yeah, and it was a great match. Like, they, those boys are really good at the game.
Absolutely.
Apparently they're extremely versatile, but we just, you know, we just, we were the better team that day.
Talonflame top is a wild choice. Like, I'm trying to think of, I mean, it, yeah, you're mobile for sure. I just, once that Pokemon presses all their buttons, they're just dead in the water. So I'm shocked that that is like a solo lane option whatsoever. But cool, you guys were able to take that match. That was huge. So then you go up against Team Shiny in the like winners semis, and you win that game 2-1. This is a huge game. You guys were able to knock Team Shiny down to losers in this first bout you had with them. I know there's some unfortunate news coming up in the future, but a big game here for you guys. What pushed you over the edge against Team Shiny in this first matchup?
I think predominantly was that we were going in and we just wanted to make sure, like, we showed everybody that we're one of the top teams, and we were motivated to beat that team just in general, because we always had good matchups against that team specific. I was even more so than Apes. I think the hardest matchups we have is probably TTV and Apes. Team Shiny, we kind of, especially like that series in specific, not the second one, but the first series against them, like, our bot lane was doing really well. We were securing every day, and we were putting the pressure on them and stuff, and Muk was coming down and helping us get Dread and all that. But I think the main thing that separated us between us and Team Shiny that series was that we dominated pretty much every single team fight late. Like, there, I don't think we lost a team fight that series. And it would have been a 2-0, but we got, ended up getting zapped, and everybody died even after we won the team fight. So, like, we got zapped for no reason, and they made a big comeback. So kudos to them.
This game, dude. Yeah, I remember we were, we casted this, no, I didn't cast this game, but Crashy and I were, like, talking outside of it, and I was like, man, Felihan just won that game 3-0. That's wild. Like, I can't believe they took that whole series 3-0. Impressive. Because yeah, that second game, man, that was some unfortunate stuff that happened. So glad you were able to stick it out on top in the end. Welcome back, everybody. Discord just having a rough day today. Not doing its best for sure, but cool.
Definitely.
All right, so you guys were able to take down Team Shiny. You had the rest of the bracket kind of spells itself out. You had a unfortunate loss versus TTV, and then you had to face up against Team Shiny again, and this time they were able to pull out the win versus you guys. I know Rin was pulling out that Garchomp in a few situations. We were talking about Talonflame. Was the Garchomp a surprise pick for your team, or had you expected something like this coming in?
I don't think he played that
against us.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He played that against you guys. Yeah, okay.
He wouldn't play that against us, nah.
No.
we were expecting it, though.
Yeah.
No, Garchomp, he played TTV.
Gotcha.
He used Garchomp.
I think what happened that series, if I remember, it's like that whole day, if we just had 10 more seconds in certain games, we would end up winning. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the times, like, we would get zapped. And, like, we all couldn't score, or we would die, or, like, we would run out of time. Mm. And with them, I remember first game specific, I think we ended up getting zapped, but only one of us scored. So I think that was literally the theme of the day. Yeah. And then second game, they just won outright,
sure,
to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, but just some unluck in that first game, and then after that, it's tough to come back from that stuff like that, for sure. I mean, you had an onslaught of a tournament and everything like that, but cool. So then TTV...
Well, the second game with them was where we had the Rotom push in, and we could have scored, and we didn't. That was the second game.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I made a wrong play call on my end. Everybody should have went Gil score, but at the heat of the moment, that was on me, though, for sure.
Yeah, I mean... Tough case. You live and you learn. And I mean, your team trusts you enough to make those calls, and they're going to keep trusting you to keep making them, Rex. So I don't think I wouldn't be too worried in that case that it happens. But so that brings us to the end of the Shiny finale. TTV is winning this one right now. I think it's pretty easy to say that Aphelion is definitely in that top three of teams in NA right now. I know some rosters are being like tooled open, trying to rebuild. Everyone looking forward to the Worlds announcement that we have. So I want to talk a little bit about this. Worlds, is that on the brain for you guys? Or is that what is the end goal? Or are you, is that not something you guys are pushing towards?
Definitely the end goal. Yeah. That's definitely the goal.
Cool. Yeah.
100% that's the goal.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of players who aren't looking, you know, at Worlds, but I think since that got announced, it kind of lit a fire under all of us, and cool. We've been, you know, grinding, especially trying to make sure that, you know, we can get that spot at Worlds.
Awesome. Well, I had just one question about that. So like I said, I think you guys are pretty clearly at least within the top three, if not top two, in a lot of people's rankings right now for NA teams. What do you guys think it would take for Aphelion to get that number one spot in NA?
I mean, now it's, you know, with TTV, because I believe Toon is an EU player, I think that that roster might be splitting up. I think that, you know, I think our team is going to be one of the longest standing teams once that happens. And I think, you know, it really just comes down to a meta shift at that point. If, you know, the meta is on our favor to the point where, you know, it's a team fight oriented meta, we're going to have, you know, a really, really good shot. I think that we always have the potential to win any single tournament.
Right.
It just really comes down to execution on the day.
Cool.
But I think the world's meta might be a lot different than the NA meta, where, you know, there's going to be, you know, score comps and all types of stuff. So it's going to be a lot of adapting and working with coaches and analysts to make sure we're on top of strategy and how to deal with, you know, those type of, because I don't think it's going to be team fight meta at regionals specifically.
I got you. Dude, call me, I might be all over the NA hopium, but I honestly don't think score comp is that good against the NA meta. I am like just a complete disbeliever. Call me wrong. This is me absolutely tripping over myself when Worlds is just dominated by a score meta. But I really do think that just the NA team fight, like, you know, solid macro across the game, I really do think it's going to win out. But that's just a lone caster's opinion. But well, I guess we'll see when it comes to the actual day what is going to go on. So all right, well, we're getting low on time here, so let's just talk a little bit more about Worlds, and then we'll move into our closing. What is your guys' ideal format for Worlds? Do you want this to be a qualifiers kind of thing, and that's how teams get invited to that Worlds position? Do you want to see a regional tournament, something like that, or would you rather see it based off something like ranked performance? It makes me want to throw up a little bit in my mouth thinking about that, but yeah. Maybe that is an option for some games. I've seen it done in other games that is a viable ranking option. What do you think? What would you want to see in terms of Worlds qualifications? Invite only, another option, but go ahead.
I kind of like the Shiny League format. Have like a bunch of tourneys to get points. But I'm also not opposed to going to regionals and, you know, qualifying from there as well and getting points from like actual events. Sure. So I don't know. But overall, I think I prefer the Shiny League format. You don't got to leave your house. You just play from home. But
especially since COVID is getting worse.
Right.
Yeah, so I'd definitely rather avoid that. But yeah, go ahead, Rex.
I definitely think that it needs to be region locked 100% for these qualifiers.
Okay, cool.
I don't like the idea of having to play on lag. Like every time we deal with it, obviously, but it is annoying because you got to play a little bit differently. You got to time your abilities a little differently. Mm-hmm. Like it's just overall inconvenient, to be honest.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Inconvenient. And when you're playing at the top of the game, that makes it tougher. Red, how about you?
How would I prefer that we qualify
for Worlds? Yeah, for Worlds.
I think the Shiny Four. I'm gonna be honest. It doesn't matter, man. To be honest, I really don't care. We can do it the Shiny way. I mean, region way. Like, have a regional event. I mean, rank way too. That's what they want to do. That's fine with me. I mean, we'll just squad up and play rank. But it's not really that big of a deal to me. The Shiny League format kind of seems pretty decent. Usually, most tournaments that I know about, that's how they do it. Or most like big events, that's how they usually do it. Like small tournaments or regional tournaments, and you get points through that.
Yeah.
And then by the points you like qualify, something like that. So, I mean, that's fine. It's not an issue no matter which way they do it, though, for me. So
cool. Awesome. And then how about you, Art? Any thoughts on this world's grand stage, how to get there, anything like that?
I'm very excited for Worlds, but I don't know if it's actually going to happen. That's the problem. I'm the only one in the team that lives in Canada, so they have more restrictions traveling from here to U.S., They're more picky.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, shout out, I'm Canadian as well. I don't live there currently, but my citizenship is there. Now I'm Chicago. So
you understand.
Yes, no, I definitely do. I've been trying to get my parents out here for a while, so I I get it. It's rough for sure. And then, Blackbeard, you were mentioning, just the COVID, the way the world is, having a LAN before August seems, risky at best. Yeah, Blackbeard, what do you think?
I'm pretty much with Red. I really don't care.
Sure.
I do think that our team, we might talk a lot of stuff with each other and stuff like that, but I think our team type of way to qualify for the Worlds. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how to get there. It's just playing the games and playing properly.
Cool. I love that. Yeah, you guys are going to be there no matter what. So doesn't matter how the road to get there. I like that a lot. Cool. Okay. Well, awesome. I mean, the goal is Worlds for all of you. Admittedly, the goal is Worlds for me too. Not as a player, but try to get there and talk to you all in person in London. That would be so much fun. But all right, that brings us to the end of Overdug. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. I want to just have one final question. I'll ask everybody on the team. We'll end there, and then I'll give you everybody a chance to sell out, shout out, all those kind of things. I want to just hear from everybody in their role, just one tip. If we got a new player entering the game that wants to listen to this podcast, wants to be where you are, be like Mike, if you will, and like hit this top level of the game, what is just one piece of advice that you would give to a new player to hit the competitive level? Muck, why don't we start with you in the jungle?
Yeah, I think if you want to take your jungle game to the next level, it's about figuring out ways to snowball your team's lead. So whether that's, you know, invading after the first bees and stealing the jungle buffs from the opposing jungler, or it's, you know, doing a crazy route where you know, take your red buff and run straight top to steal napalm from the opposing top laner. You just got to look for unconventional ways to catch the opposing team off guard.
The old mix them up. I love that.
Exactly.
All right, Rex, how about in that main tank role? What's one tip that a player can do to get into that competitive sector?
The thing about tank is that you got to know what every other character can do. So I would honestly say you got to study. You got to play every character, or at least be around people that play the prominent characters. Because if you don't know what a character can do, or you don't know what their damage ranges lie, you can't really be a good tank, because you need to be able to know what you can do, how much damage you can take. So I would definitely say study the game and study the characters and learn positioning for sure.
Man, my dream journal is going to be full of things that I need to meditate on. So how about you, Blackbeard, support player?
As a support player, to be in a, to kind of play at a high level as a support, you have to learn that there's no one way. You got to support your support player, as the word says, support. So you got to support the team and support how your team plays.
Sure.
So just because one team is running X doesn't mean you have to run X as well, because that might not have be the way your team plays or the way your team needs you to play.
I like that.
So you just got to, you know, keep playing the game and make sure you're supporting your team in the way that your team as a collective plays it.
Awesome. Cool. Art, how about that solo top lane Greedent? It doesn't have to just be Greedent, just in that top lane role on any kind of competitive Pokemon Unite team. Any shout outs of a specific idea you'd want to do?
None. I don't know. I'm not sure how to answer.
Yeah, no, it is a pretty vague question. I'm sorry, but okay, we'll just say tune into your stream, right? That's where everybody can learn to adapt and get better too. Okay, how about you? Sure. Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That's for sure. Just tune into my stream. That's where I teach how to do my top lane. Okay. Stuff.
Cool. All right. That's where all the good intel is. Red Love, how about you in that attacker role in that bot lane? Well, what is
y'all took the words out of my mouth, man. If y'all want to learn how to play any role, I ain't trying to DM the teammates, but any role, man, y'all come through. I'm gonna teach y'all the right way to play. Like, it's just as simple as that. Like, there's always think they know how what they're doing and how to do things, and it's just, you got to understand, it's one of my favorite lines to say about this game, but it's levels to the game. Like, it's just literally levels. Like, you might be street level and you feel like you're college level. You know, it's just levels to the game, man. You got to go through the levels to get to the proper spot. And at the end of the day, there's no easy shortcut. Like, there's no easy shortcut way. Like, you have to grind and you have to put in the work. You're not going to just because you play rank and you win against TTV or you beat us or you beat any quote-unquote top team, like, it doesn't mean that your world's ready. It's a lot that goes into it. And when you play in a tournament and you play against real teams and real people that are willing to shut down the stuff that we know you like to do, it's a completely different world. So, like, just got to be ready to put in that work.
I hear you. Cool. All right, well, then why don't you start those sellout shout-outs? Where can people find you on the socials, Red Love?
Well, the Red Love on Twitch TV. You just hit me up on there.
Cool. All right, Blackbeard, you next. Where can people find you, follow you, all those kinds of things?
Just Twitch and Twitter, and I'm also on YouTube. My name is Blackbeard TV. The L in black is actually the number one, and all my socials are the same. So Blackbeard TV, all my socials are the same. The letter L is a. That's it.
Nice. Got that number in the name to prove you were an epic gamer. Rex, how about you?
You can catch me on Twitter predominantly, RexAE. Pretty much it.
Cool. Nice. Muck, how about you?
Yeah, DatBoyMuck on Twitter. And hopefully this week, if all things go well, you should be able to catch me live on Twitch as well.
Ooh, the premiere. I am very excited. Sir. Love to hear it. Art, how about you? Shout out. Where's your stream? Where's your socials? Give us all that.
My Twitter is basically my name, or Trio, just add one extra U. But for Twitch, it's TTV_Trio. The only two U's.
Okay, awesome. All right, everybody. Well, now you know where to find them. Make sure you go tune in and support Aphelion Esports. This team is making waves, setting the pace in a lot of these metas, and I cannot stop watching them and casting them. My name has been Zoinks. If you want to see more of this gameplay, go to their streams. But if you want to see past tournament gameplay from them, go tune in to the Unite Mics YouTube. We have cataloged so many top competitive games. We have commentary casted over top of them for your enjoyment. Best place to go take a look back at what the best of competitive Pokemon Unite has been thus far. So go check it out. My name has been Zoinks for Atreyu, Blackbeard, Redlove, Rex, and Datboy Muk. This has been Overdunk. Thank you so much for joining, everybody, and have a fantastic night.